Thank you, Tammy. I love you too. Good morning. She already told you my name and where I go to church. We've been at Southwest. August starts our 22nd year at Southwest. Now, I don't know anything about PowerPoints. I wouldn't know what to do with one. I'm kind of a pen and paper type girl, probably from the decade that I came up in, or the two decades I really came up in. So anyway, Wayne asked me about a year ago, we were driving to a play, and he asked me about this true ministry conference he was going to do and if I would speak. And I said, is it because I'm cheap? He said, no. He said, it's because of some of the things that I have seen you do. I've only known Wayne and Tammy about 4 years. But I grew to love them about the first 30 minutes I spent with them, and have enjoyed a relationship with them. So the topic he gave me was doing good. Do good. Two little words. One small thought. But immeasurable impact if we just practice it. And that's what we're probably missing the most of in today's world of volunteering, doing anything at the church, and even stepping outside our boundaries. So I was born into the Church of Christ, so I grew up around women who did things for others. No programs back in the 50s and 60s. You just did it. If you saw the need, you just went and did it. You didn't have to have somebody hand you a card and say, now when you bring this back, we're going to count this. You didn't have to have the numbers. And so I grew up with a grandmother and a mother that volunteered. And my dad always told people, he said, I don't have to volunteer because Sylvia will volunteer me. And so he was always helping her. So Frank and I got married 24 years ago, and he has volunteered basically since that time. It's helpful when you have someone who will do it with you and will help you. And if you're lucky enough to have a husband that will do that, take advantage of them, basically. I don't really have any skills. I never graduated. I never went to college. Barely got out of high school because I liked the social aspect of it. Math and all of the other stuff, I just didn't care much for it. So I barely got out of high school and I didn't go to college, had no idea what I was going to do. And I spent 19 years in retail management, but I never considered that a career. And it was just a job I did. So I have been in the church all those years, but I kind of, at some point, kind of wandered in and out like we're prone to do in our 20s and 30s. And so when I got back into the church, literally, I never stopped going, I just wasn't involved. So I decided at that point, because I didn't have any skills, but I was willing. And so I determined that at that point, when somebody asked me to do something, I was going to say yes. Didn't matter what it was. Didn't care what it was. If there was a need, I was just going to do it. So today, I have people sometimes that will call me on the phone, or they'll come to talk to me at church, and they'll say, you know, I'd like to do something, but I'm going to be kind of picky about what I want to do. And I'm like, in my mind, I don't say it out loud, but in my mind, I'm thinking, well, girl, you're never going to do anything if you're going to be picky about what you want to do. So I just pitch in when I need to. We have a lot of, I think in today's age, I find a lot of people that will do some following and will do some helping, but you don't have anybody to lead and to lead the charge. People have decided, well, you know, that might be some responsibility, or that might be a little bit too much work. But you've got to have leaders in the church. You've got to have women leaders in the church that will honestly get up and do something. One of the other things that I have found over the years, and I'm sure y'all have found the same thing as I have, is you have a lot of people that they may not want to do anything, but they want to complain about what you do. and they don't mind telling you. And I'm like, okay, well, here, you just take it. You just do it. And then they run away. And if they ever see you with a piece of paper in your hand, they do run away because they're afraid you're going to ask them to do something. So I just decided, you know, I'm just going to do what I can do. So the easiest place to start in a church for volunteering, if you're going to do work inside the church, is food. Everybody likes to eat. What's that old saying about used to, the way to a man's heart was through his stomach? Well, it's the way to everybody's heart as far as I'm concerned. So many of our activities revolve around food. You know, we laugh and say we don't have any vices like drinking or, you know, doing all of those kinds of things, but we do like to eat. And so I found that volunteering to do things in the kitchen quickly escalated to a number of things. Now, you don't like to cook? I really don't either. The first 2 years Frank and I were married, when I said, let's eat, he went and got in the car because I didn't do any kind of cooking. And I am not an excellent cook by any means, but I will, you know, I do easy things, and I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to learn. If you can read, you can cook. So that's one of the places where you can have a large impact upon people, is to do things in the kitchen. I'm sure your church does, the congregation you attend probably does, food for the bereaved or for the sick. Or does your funeral dinners. Probably some of you here are in charge of funeral dinners at your congregation. That was one of the places that I really got started in cooking, was at the funeral dinners. I took it over, I don't know, probably 15 years ago maybe a little bit longer than that I had helped out. But I would do funeral dinners. Something easy, you know, not a whole lot, but I would go in. One of the things that I would do that kind of personalized things, first of all, I would find out if the deceased had a favorite dish or something that I knew about the person. I would decorate the fellowship hall with stuff that I knew that person liked. We had a guy that we used to eat pizza with on Sunday nights after church. He loved jalapeno peppers. Always carried one in his shirt pocket. So when he passed away, I went and bought plastic jalapeno peppers and put them in vases and set them around the fellowship hall. Now, that didn't take me much time and it didn't take me much money, but it made a huge impact. They're like, you cared enough to do something that was personal to me and to my family. I can't remember what I did when Becky's daddy died, but it was something that he liked. But if you can do just little things like that where you're personalizing it for the person, it makes a huge difference to them. You think, oh, that was nothing. And to you, it really wasn't. So even if you don't like to cook, you can do any kind of things. You can offer to wash dishes. We had a guy that he and his wife placed membership about, oh, I don't know, 6 or 7 months ago. And he came up to me and he said, I love to wash dishes. I said, oh my, I love you. I didn't even know him. And so, you know, when you have somebody that comes up and offers something like that, involve them. The more people you can involve in something, then the more helpers you're going to get in the church. And so we do, you know, funeral dinner. Sometimes it seems like we've had two or three, you know, in a three-week time period where you're constantly up there. But if you, you know, you can help clean up, you can help set up the tables, put the napkins and the forks and spoons and knives out on the table, salt and pepper, anything like that. You can go to the grocery store for somebody and pick up something. I'm always looking for somebody to go pick up the chicken. Just the chicken. And so anyways, just things like that you can do that take very little effort on your part but make a big impact on somebody. All the other thing, this always makes me laugh. Y'all may not find it nearly as funny as I did, but we used to have Meals on Wheels program for I think we operated at 34 years until, unfortunately, we ran out of volunteers to do that program. And so, I was involved in it probably the last 8 or 9 years that it was there. Becky was the same way. Her mother worked in it. But anyway, we had a guy that I absolutely adored. His name was Joe Conley, and he was about 100 years old, lived on his own in an apartment. So when I would cook, I would always make banana pudding because that was his favorite. And I would have a Cool Whip, the biggest Cool Whip deal, and I would fill that up when I went to Joe's house to deliver his meal and take him his banana pudding. So one day, he was getting ready to have to move into a nursing home. He didn't have really anybody to take care of him. And he said, now when I die, I want you to bury me in that banana pudding. And so we got a big kick out of it, but I got to where for every funeral dinner, I would make banana pudding. Well, Wayne came in and, you know, he would smell around. He goes, yeah, I smell that banana pudding. And so he and Derek, who has just recently left Southwest as an associate, they had gone to visit somebody that was truly on their deathbed. And I guess Wayne gets to the door and Derek's right behind him and Wayne goes, I smell banana pudding. And Derek said he almost fell out the door laughing. But, you know, a lot of times just something that you fix, you have people that call and ask you to fix a specific thing because they know how good it is. And not that banana pudding is hard, it's 4 ingredients, but that's what everybody wants me to fix when I go somewhere. So it's just things like that. Like I said, we did Meals on Wheels. We have, at Southwest, we have, and somebody referenced it yesterday, Church Eat Church. I think it was Wayne. That's like my favorite Sunday, you know, but it'd be more my favorite Sunday if I didn't have to do it. But anyway, so it's just, you know, getting people to do things for that, volunteers. Our youth group comes in and they do all the serving. So when you come for Church Eat Church, you sit down at a table and your food is brought to you. Usually within 3 to 4 or 5 minutes, your drink, your meal, and your dessert. So the more people you can involve, the easier it makes it. And that's true with the cleanup, too. It makes it go a lot faster because we do that at about 11:15, and we're back ready for church by 12 o'clock, and everything's cleaned up. So what's the old saying? Many hands make light work. It is very true. Some of the other things that I have done, and this is, y'all do all these same things. I know you do. I know you've been involved, or you wouldn't even be here. So a lot of the things that we have done over the years is just same things you do. Offer to help with bridal and baby showers. Now, I don't know if this has affected your congregation, but honestly, most everybody now, they just want a gift card. They don't want you to pick out anything because they want to pick it out for themselves. Not like the old days when you got 16 toasters and no way to take them back or something like that. But anyway, it's just one of those things that, you know, people are thrilled when you go to the trouble to do something for them like that with a baby or a wedding. We have gotten to where now, unless you want to, you can have it in the church, but some people just do it in their homes, is you go and set up a table in your foyer with all the information on it and a place for gift cards and gifts to be left. And then they're moved into the office so that they can be picked up. And so we do that for a couple of weeks. We find out what the baby is, or if they don't want to know what the baby is, then everybody gets yellow, whatever you want to do, or you get the gift card. But it's an easy way to still have those kinds of showers, but not, it doesn't require a lot of work anymore, unless you want to do it at home. Activities with kids and the youth group, I know y'all have all been involved in that. Now, I never had any children of my own by choice. I never wanted kids. However, it doesn't mean that I haven't done a lot of things with kids over the years, because I have. I've done a lot of teaching in first, second, and third grade. I always love to tell the story of Becky's kids we used to have Sunday night Bible class at 5 o'clock. So we had first, second, and third grade. And her kids came in one Sunday night and said, "Would you please pray for our dog Rocket to come back? He'd run away or something had happened to him." For 18 months, we prayed for that dog to come home. Finally, I went to Becky's mother and I said, "Tell those kids that dog is dead. It is not coming back." But we prayed for that dog for a solid 18 months. So we also had something called spring fleeing, where we involved the kids. We brought them to the church on Saturday afternoon, and we had all kinds of activities and things. Involve yourself, even if you don't have kids. I'm amazed at some of the things I still learn from being around the kids. They have a whole different perspective than I have ever known, because never having kids or grandkids and not being around children except at church, I didn't have any idea. Youth group activities. I don't know whether y'all were there, but last September we went out to South Lakes Park, which is about 2 miles from the Southwest Building, on a Sunday night after church, and cooked hot dogs and under the pavilion. We had about 70 people of our youth come with their families. And we included from birth till, I don't know, into the college age. It was a great fellowship. It cost the church $40 to rent the pavilion, and it cost about $100 for hot dogs. And I mean, that's a pretty good bang for your buck, basically, to get that many people together. Today, in today's world, you're not really as involved as we were when I was a kid. We didn't have anything else. We had black and white TV. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have sports on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And so church was basically where you went to have your fun and to also learn the Bible lessons. So today's world, you're kind of crunched in with everything else that the kids want to do. And it has certainly affected our Sunday night worship services down to, I don't know, probably 150 maybe. If you were in there yesterday at the short presentation, I work for, I do a lot of work at camp, at Camp Rock Creek, that's here in Norman. If you can ever involve yourself in a camp where the kids go, do it. It is very rewarding. It is a lot of fun. I've done a little bit of everything. I've been a counselor. That was not my favorite thing to do, because the drama, I'd forgotten about the drama of 15, 16, 17-year-old girls, and I'm like, "Girl, just wait. This is going to be nothing." I always told them, I said, my grandmother's best advice she ever gave me when I was 16 years old, and she said, "Now, Nita Kay," she said, "do not wear your legs out chasing those boys, because you're going to need them later to kick yourself with." That was the truest stuff she ever said to me. So camp, BBS. BBS is always a lot of fun. So just when somebody asks you, or go volunteer. I mean, when you go up to volunteer for something, and they look at you like, "Oh, really? You're going to volunteer for that? Well, thank you very much. Here's when you need to be here." So I just encourage you. We're losing our youth, it seems like to me, because there's so many things to preoccupy them. And so I just find that by being involved with them, I learn a lot. Hopefully they learn something from me. I don't know what it would be exactly, but I just, you know, it's just involving yourself. Teach Bible class if you can. I taught for about 12 years. It basically grew beyond, I'm not computer savvy. I know how to use Facebook, but that's, and Candy Crush, and that's about my, I don't really know a lot about that. So they really kind of outgrew me, and younger ones needed to go in. But we're not doing much training of the younger ones. We're just, you know, "I knew how to do it. Why don't you know how to do it?" And so we're really, and I have found that in a lot of aspects of volunteering, that we're not training some of the younger ones to do anything. We don't go and ask them. Now, if they volunteer, we'll say, okay, but, you know, go and ask somebody to volunteer. So Here's one thing that I learned this a long time ago. We're not always the kindest people to others. Tammy's life, I mean, we all know that. And I have found that speaking kind words to some of the young mothers in the church does amazing things for what their face looks like when you're done. Many years ago, there was a couple that had three small children that went to when we were at our old building on Southwest 25th and Agnew. And the woman came in, her husband worked a lot of Sundays, so many times she was by herself, and she had three small children, probably three girls under the age of 8, maybe 10. And so one Sunday morning, one of our older couples, now I'm probably the same age as they were then, but old is relative. So during communion, one of the girls spoke out loud, one of the little girls. So the lady behind her tapped her on the shoulder, tapped the woman, the mother on the shoulder, and said, "You need to control your children when you're in the church building, especially during communion." That woman never came back with those three kids. And so you have to think, man, did we lose 4 souls over that? We very well could have. Only because I don't know that the woman meant harm. She didn't, I don't think, not in her heart. But, you know, sometimes I look around at people and I'm thinking, if I had to get those kids ready for church, Brother Fitz started before 2:00, I wouldn't be there. Because it's hard when you're trying to get people into the church, especially young families, and to be rude to them. I just find that totally unacceptable. Sometimes over the years that I, you know, there's certain children that, of course, you're closer to than others. So I've had, you know, sometimes I have little kids sit with me in church, gives their mama a break. The other day, Frank came down the aisle after he had served communion, and he had Isabella, the little 4-year-old, by the hand. And I'm like, "Where did she come from?" He said, "Rosa just handed her to me and said, take her." And so sometimes, you know, young mothers get overwhelmed if there's nobody around. Say, and her husband was on the communion table, so he was not able to help her. And so I think she just got frustrated and sent that baby down there with my husband. That was okay. She sat there. She was somewhat noisy, because I wouldn't spank her like her mama would. But anyway, so sometimes just that is such a tiny little thing. Takes no effort on your part except to have that child sit on your lap or next to you. But it makes a big difference to people when you take an interest in their child. Invite people into your home. We have really kind of lost that, where we used to have tons of fellowship. The first time that one of the ladies at church, she's no longer there, she's at another congregation doing where she moved into a different community. And so she came to my house. I serve on paper plates. I don't care. If it's 4 people, if it's 50 people, I give them their food on paper plates. And she said, "I just don't think I'd have the nerve to do that." And I said, "Girl, I'm not staying in the kitchen because I don't like to wash dishes or even load the dishwasher." And so people really don't care about if you give them a paper plate that has, you know, food on it. Don't let things like that stop you from volunteering to have people in your house. That's one of the best things that we have always done, is we've had fellowship. We're losing that because either we're too busy or, well, that bed's not made. Shut the door. That's what I do. I shut the door to that room and dare them to go in there. You know, and if they do, it's just like, you know, I'll tell Frank, "Did I wear this last Sunday to church?" And he said, "I don't know." And I said, "Me neither. And if I did, if somebody notices, they're not going to say anything to me. Or they'll sit behind my back and I don't really care." So, one of those things. Do things with the older people in your congregation. We used to do it at night, but a lot of our folks, you know, don't drive much at night. So we do board games on a Thursday. We have snacks. We do board games. We laugh. We eat together. Things like that. Most of the people that I originally started this with, as far as going places in the church bus, were in their early 70s. Now they're in their early to mid 80s, and they don't get out as much. But if you've got a church bus and you have time, take them somewhere. We've gone to Muskogee to the Azalea Festival. We've gone to the aquarium in Tulsa. I've taken them to the state fair. I mean, just involve people like that. We used to do, I loved it when we did it, we used to do birthday parties. So if your birthday was in the month of August, then you were invited and you were the star attraction. I can't tell you how much stuff I learned about people by going to those and asking them questions. Tell me something about your childhood. Those people, they don't, you know, in their family, everybody's heard the same story, but you haven't, and they love somebody to listen to some of the, and so I've learned tons of stuff. There was a guy that, he's passed away now, but I learned he was born in Big Bottom, Tennessee, and I said, brother, I'd have gotten out there pretty quick if I would have been born there. And but you just learn things. You can learn from everybody, from kids down to old, but we don't do that anymore. We don't take the time to ask people questions or to even involve ourselves in their lives. Their experiences are a lot different from ours. And so people that grew up in the church in the 40s, 50s, 60s, I mean, it's a whole different world now. It is, I mean, even in the last 10 years, technology is mind-boggling. Social media has taken over so many things, our lives mostly, it seems like sometimes. And so try to do one-on-ones with people or just in a group. You'd be amazed at some of the things that people will tell you. Kind of like going to the beauty shop, you know, and you're the hairstylist, and they tell you everything. So when you're sitting with a group of older people, they will tell you just about anything and more than you want to know. But it's always fun. We used to do an adopted grandparents program back in the first, second, and third grade. That's a great thing because so many of our children today are growing up and they're not around their grandparents. And that's hard. I was blessed to be, my grandparents didn't die until they were in their 90s. So, I lived very close to them, saw them all the time. You don't have that anymore. But you have lots of people in the church, even some widow women or even some couples that would love to be adopted and go to something in your church, in your congregation like that. So we don't really do a whole lot of that. Ladies' Days, I'm sure all of your congregations have those. Ours is in its 53rd year. That's a long time to have a Ladies' Day. And I had it for 17 years. And so volunteer for stuff like that. One of the biggest things that you can't find are people that'll get up and speak in front of others. And I'm like, this is your best group. They want you to do well. And so nobody's going to say anything if you stumble over a word, if you forget a sentence, or anything like that. And so I encourage you to volunteer to do something like that. Most of ours are within 10 to 15 minutes of speaking. I mean, Tammy can hardly say hello in 10 or 15 minutes. So, I mean, but you have people like that in your church. I love people like that because they're always going to say yes to you. Family fun nights at Halloween. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to dress up for Halloween. I still love to do that. But you would be surprised at how much fun you have when you will just go with a flow. Just, you know, dress up, act goofy. We and our house for years had Halloween parties. And some of the pictures with grown-ups. So they were very creative, I'll just say that. And we had so much fun laughing. I still go back and look through pictures of all the crazy things we used to do. A lot of the people are older or have passed on from when we did that. But You know, sometimes we're just too formal in the church. People love to see you, you know, dressed up like a, well, 2 years ago, I had this nurse's costume that has a blow-up hiney. So I made my husband be the patient. I put, you know, ketchup on him, and I bandaged him up. I laid him on a mattress in the back of the truck at the trunk or treat. And I was the nurse. I was Nurse Ratchet, but some of y'all won't get that. But anyway, just fun things like that that you can do. We tend to think that if you're around the church building, you got to have your face has to be straight, you can't laugh, and we're kind of losing some of our personality just by being so formal. And so I just like to do a lot of fun things like that. I know that y'all have done so many of those kinds of things too. But I just want you to think about stepping outside your comfort zone and doing something that if somebody asks you and you've never done anything like that before, you know, try it. And then one of the things that I have found as being someone who will head up just about anything you will give me, I'll just do it, is don't, when you give somebody a job, don't stand over them and don't try to take it away from them, because in the end, it doesn't matter how it's done. You know, I volunteered to cut some construction paper stuff out for a VBS one day. I've never done that before. I didn't have any kids, nothing like that. So I laid the pattern down, and the person walked behind me and jerked that out of my hand and said, "We don't cut it out like that. You're wasting too much paper." And I'm like, "Are you kidding?" You know, those kinds of things. And my feelings, you cannot hurt my feelings, literally. It's just, I just don't, it just rolls off most of the time. But there are a lot of people that are a lot more sensitive than I am. We had a girl that was cooking down at camp, and she put a spatula on top of a piece of sausage. And the person that was in charge walked behind her and said, "We do not do that." And I'm like, "Wow." Okay, do it yourself. But, you know, let people do their own. If you've given them a chore to do, let them do it. I don't care how it's done, as long as it's done. You want to come decorate the fellowship hall? Be my guest. I don't care how it's done, as long as it's done. So if you're going to be in charge of something like that, let people use their own skill and personality. If they don't like it, they're not ever going to come back and do that again, or they're not going to volunteer to do that. But we take a lot of the fun out of stuff sometimes. And I always thought that the Lord has a sense of humor, because all you've got to do is look around you sometimes and you'll see it. Several years ago, before I moved to the outside, I was going to use this in the first part and I forgot it. But when, let me see where it went. Well, that's kind of crazy. It's kind of disappeared off my piece of paper. Okay, well, we'll just move on. It'll come back to me. So now we'll talk a little bit about some of the things you can do outside of your building that impact the community where you are. I like the Mike Green a while ago was talking about church plants, and he said, you know, we get caught up in how many numbers there are. So I've had elders say, "Well, what's the numbers going to be if you go out and do such and such? What kind of numbers are we going to see?" I have no idea. We may not see any numbers. I don't know. It's still the right thing to do. So he was talking about, you know, in the Bible, and I think it's 1 Corinthians, where Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You may not see the increase for years and years and years. Doesn't matter. Just do it. Do good. And so some of the things that, and they, listen, these have not always worked, I'm just going to tell you, because sometimes you have people who are gung-ho the first two times you do it, and then they're like, "Nah, that's too much work. I don't want to do it." And honestly, I've done the same thing myself sometimes. When you start to do something, you're like, "Oh my, that's a lot more work than I wanted." But I'll just give you just a few things. Like I said, y'all probably do more things than I have ever done. in church work. Oh, here's my little deal I couldn't find a while ago because I flipped the paper. Several years ago, and I don't know, I never could find who what this saying was credited to. But I loved it, so I copied it down. I put it in a place where I would see it every single day. And it says, do as much good as you can, as long as you can, any way you can, wherever you can, for anyone you can, until you no longer can. And that's how I like to live my life, is because one of these days, I'm not going to be able to do everything I do today. Somebody said, oh, don't you get tired? Nope, I do not get tired, because what, as my Grandma Winnie used to say, I'll sleep when I'm dead. That's exactly how I feel about it. So there's lots to do out there. So a lot of times I think when we do things outside of our buildings, we move way out of our comfort zone in what we want to do. And one of the prime things that I have seen, and you probably in your local congregations, we have the Christian Service Center. That is down on 24th and South Robinson in a part of town. It's a part of town I grew up in, so I'm not afraid. But a lot of people are. There's prostitutes, there's homeless, there's addiction people that you see everywhere. And the guy that has run it, I grew up with, met him when I was a year old. We were the same age in toddler class. And so they give away food, they give away clothing, household items, they do Christmas baskets, things like that. So I try to get people to go down there and volunteer. That's too dirty for me. Really? So you don't want to go down because somebody might touch you that is dirty? I mean, I find that kind of sad. I mean, I personally don't know how Jack does it every single day for the last 20-something years. But he goes down there, and he and his wife work down there. It doesn't hurt me to go down there and do some work, whether it's, you know, I've gone down there and sorted food, I've worked at the counter where people are there, I've had people come in and, you know, they'll ask for toothbrush and toothpaste. You know, some of it's their own choice, I realize that. But I do the right thing, and it doesn't matter what they do. Because God's not going to judge me on what they do. He's only going to judge me on what I have done. And so they beg for people to come down there to work. And I know that if you have anything similar to that where you go, they beg for people to come down there and volunteer and work. We had a meeting about a month, oh no, it was about a year ago. And there was like 10 people that said they would work. Guess how many have gone down there? Zero. Nobody. Sounds good in theory, looks good on paper. But, oh, let's go down to the Christian Service Center today, and your mama used to go all the time and work. Let's go down today. We're going to work from 9:30 to 12:30. Then we're going to go up and eat the best hot dog in town on 25th and Harvey. And so they don't want to do it because you're going to come in contact with people who are high on drugs, who are hungover. But God really didn't tell you that you only could go to the best neighborhood and try to find somebody. And so one day, I donate all my clothes that I don't want anymore. And one of the girls at church one day, she said, what do you do with your clothes when you're done? And I said, I give them to the Christian Service Center. She said, you mean your stuff that you buy at Chico's? And I said, yes, because the prostitutes have to dress good too. And oh, I thought it was rather hilarious. She didn't think it was nearly as funny as I did. However, I mean, you know, they got to have clothes. It's not my, I can't judge that. They need something to wear, so I just figure they can have that. So if you have anything like that, I mean, the people will love it if you will come down and volunteer. And don't take your trash to donate down there. That's my biggest pet peeve about people who say they donate their goods out of love. If you've taken something down there that is never going to look right again. It's missing buttons, it's dirty, it's holy, or a skillet that has everything rubbed off of it except whatever, the Teflon. Don't take that kind of, throw it in the trash. Because, just because they are poor or they don't have, doesn't mean they want every reject around. And that's not just something new, that's been for a long time. The local food bank, if you have one in your community, our older people love to go to the food bank. It's usually fairly easy work. It lasts a couple of hours, and then you always go to lunch at Cracker Barrel. I mean, honestly, that should get a lot of people out. But volunteer at things like that. There's a lot of our families that will just take their whole family down there on a Tuesday night and volunteer. But you can find most of those online, and along with the information on how to volunteer to go down there. Schools. Now, and I do some things for schools. Like I said, never having any children, I'm not the best at it, but I like to do it. So one day, my husband has a dump truck. I call it Ugly Betty. And but it's a toy for him. He loves it. It's awful. But anyway, there's a guy that works on it. He's a diesel mechanic. And he and his wife came over one day. And so I said, Terry, what do you do? She said, I'm a school teacher. And I said, where? And she said, at Santa Fe South Charter School. I said, really? I said, do y'all need help? She goes, what? And I said, do y'all need help doing anything? She goes, you would volunteer? I said, yeah, when I have time. I said, I'd be glad to. So I got involved in Santa Fe South Charter School. Currently, I work with the middle school. But I do lunches for them. I take, we do a teacher appreciation dinner for them where I take it to the schools. If they need, the principal will call me sometimes and said, we're going on a field trip, but some of our kids don't have any money. So we'll take money down there, and he always calls me, and he says, I have this much left over. I said, do you need it for anything else? He goes, really? And I said, yeah. I said, use it. And so he calls me all the time to thank me for doing. He said, we just don't have people that will step up and do anything for anybody. And so that's another way to get into the lives of people. You may never baptize one of them. I don't know. I don't know what will happen with them. I mean, we put our information in about Southwest. I talk about the times that we meet. I don't know what will ever happen. But it's doing the right thing and not counting. Okay, so am I going to get like 10 people baptized and coming to church? I don't know. Maybe you will and maybe you won't. Christmas caroling. We've taken the kids, we've taken the youth group, we've taken adults to sing at nursing homes or places like that. You cannot imagine how thrilled they are when you walk in and you Christmas carol. We had a guy that used to go to church with us, and he was he had the use of one arm, and he was in a nursing home. He was in his late 40s when I met him. And so one day we just loaded up a bunch of first, second, and third graders and some older kids and took them over to the nursing home that he was in. And so he comes wheeling down the hall. He lived in a, I don't know, it was sad, broke my heart every time I went there. But anyway, he was going out in the parking lot. He had foil on his hair and some bleach. And one of those little things made where you get a sun, I guess you put foil on it and you get some sun on your face in this. And so when we pull in, that's what he's getting ready to do. So we just all hop out of the van and we just start singing to him. And he was, and it was Christmas carols. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but it was a nice enough day. Thrilled him to death. He talked about that for a long time. Little things like that, did it cost me anything or anybody that went with me? Cost you a little bit of time, and maybe some hot chocolate when you got back to the building. That's it. That's all it cost. And so that was, That's still a fun thing to do. We still do that occasionally. We've done goodie bags to police stations. I don't have a watch, so. I'm done? Okay. Let me wrap it up really quick. Okay. We've done goodie bags to police stations and fire stations. They love it. You know, homemade goods, they don't always get that. We've adopted families at Christmas, where you just go in and find somebody in need. Be supportive of people in your congregation that are doing new things. We offered Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University a couple of years ago. Now, I was a little long in the tooth to be going to learn that because I wasn't going to change. Frank thought I might learn something, but I didn't. Anyway, but one of the kids, it was his first time to facilitate it. Well, it didn't hurt me to go up there on a Monday night for a couple of hours and be an encouragement to him. Encourage the young people who are doing something in your building. I think that we have, we've overlooked that, the encouragement part of it. You know, I love the passages from Luke, give and it shall be given unto you. I like the one that, not in Luke, that says, to whom much is given, much is required. That doesn't just mean your money. It means your time. It means your talent. If you don't think you have a talent, you will eventually develop two or three. One of the things that, and I'm going to close with this because I am out of time, that most of you will not know who Irma Bombeck is. But she was a writer and a humorist, and she just told everyday stories that were funny. But she died fairly young, and so one of the things that when I found this, and it still kind of makes me cry to think about it, is, and I told Frank, I said, now, if you outlive me, I want this on my funeral program. That sounds kind of bad, but anyway, I hope it's far into the future. So anyway, but what she left was, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope not to have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me. And I love that because you don't have to seek permission to do good. Just do it. Just get up and do it. And then if somebody says, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, like who else is doing it? Thank you very much. I appreciate y'all coming.